Hello and welcome. You are listening to Gore and Guilty Podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Georgia.
And today we have on the cards for you a spooky paranormal episode with a twist of crime. Georgia, won't you tell us all what you've got in store for us?
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about the exorcism of Annalise Michelle. And it was requested by Cleo underscore D. 97. So we put up a suggestion box a few days ago and we got some amazing requests, and I've chosen the exorcism for this week's episode.
You can't go wrong with an exorcism.
It's super spooky.
Is this the exorcism that the exorcism is based on? You know, the film?
Well, actually, it's funny you say that. It's actually the exorcism of Emily Rose. I don't know whether you know that horror movie. That movie is based on this exorcism. So, yeah.
Okay, so many exorcisms to choose from when it comes to Hollywood. Awesome, I'm looking forward to it. But before we jump into things, why don't we start with an update on how you're doing? You've got some big news for everyone, right?
So this weekend we bought a van and I'm super happy, super excited. We've been looking for a van for months and months and we've finally got one. So that's super exciting. We're going to like try and do lots of road trips. One of the things we said that we're going to try and do is go to visit all the national parks in the UK. So that should be quite exciting. Yeah. So yeah, very happy.
Where are you going to go first? Or are you not sure yet?
Not sure yet. We're going to try and do a bit of work to it, like on the inside, some interior stuff. Not too much, but yeah, going to try and get and do some like woodwork and... do some of that kind of stuff first, but yeah, it's just as everybody knows, I had the whole inconvenience of my car breaking down late last year, so both of us have been like just using one, which has been fine, but yeah, it's really nice to have two back on the road now, which is really good. But yeah,
amazing. Yeah, it sounds like you deserve it with all the pain you went through with your car breaking down.
Yeah, so yeah, super happy. But yeah, how about you? How have you been?
I've been good. Life as well. No new vans in my life. But other than that, I'm pretty grand. Had a heavy weekend, as you know. A lot of it isn't suitable for air. But everyone can be rest assured that I am feeling better and ready to listen to some scary stories on the podcast. So yeah, excited for this case.
Good.
Shall we do some questions? We can line up some questions.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Nice. Do you want to pick a number between 1 and 350?
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with 45.
45. Okay. What invention doesn't get a lot of love, but has greatly improved the world?
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
That's hard. Yeah. Gosh, I mean, the first thing that came to mind was a toilet, but I don't know whether
that's a good one. The toilet doesn't get a lot of love, but
no,
be living in a nightmare.
But you'd have
about
dysentery.
It.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a really hard one. I think I'm just gonna have to go with the toilet. You know, I think that like it doesn't get enough love.
I think that
what
is.
What about you? Can you think of one?
I'm really struggling to think of anything, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like all invention goes out the window.
Maybe, hang on, I'll do a scan of my... I'm not seeing anything to hand that... maybe podcasting software, which means that anyone can just chat shit online now, including us.
Yeah.
Kind of...
You can just, speak your mind and able to do it.
Yeah, could normalise podcasting. And it's weird to think that this wasn't really that much of a thing, like, 15, 20 years ago. Actually, I don't know the history of podcasting, so maybe it was. Maybe they were podcasting in the Middle Ages, so I just didn't realise. You're probably going to have to cut out all of my deep thought of what answer to give there. I don't think it was a great answer, but it'll do. It'll do. What a tough question.
I mean, I said toilet, so it can't be. That's a really hard one. If any of you guys can think of a better invention that we've like missed and it's like really obvious, then please let us know.
Yeah, I think there's probably a much better answer to that. Although I think toilet's a good one, but probably a better answer than mine.
Thank you. Right, are we ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready to hear about some exorcisms. Or just one, actually.
As I said before, we're going to be talking about the tale of the exorcism of Annelies Michel. We are going to be transported to Germany for this one. Which, you know, I don't think we... Oh, we have done a case in Germany before. We did that, the family that was murdered.
Hinterkaifeck.
The Hinterkaifeck, that's the one.
Also paranormal, must be something in the air in Germany.
I think so. Yeah, go check that one out if you haven't so far. That one's a really good one. So, we thought it was about time we did a paranormal one, and actually this one, it so happens that it has an element of crime within it, which is always good for us. There's a big debate on whether Annelies's symptoms were due to mental health or whether she was possessed by a demon. So today we're just going to talk about who Annelies was and what happened during her life. Born Anne Elizabeth Michel on the 21st of September 1953 in Liebfling, Bavaria in West Germany. She had three sisters and her parents, Anna and Joseph, and she was obviously named after her mother. And she came from a very, very religious family. They were Roman Catholics, and Annelies was religious too. They went to mass twice a week, but it was very strict, very heavily ingrained in their day-to-day life. Everything was going okay until Annelies turned 16, when she had an episode of unconsciousness, and that night, after this episode, she felt this tight and great weight on her chest while she slept.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite unusual as well, yeah. So 11 months later, she experienced the same thing again. So these episodes started to become recurring. At the time, her family took her to the doctors and a neurologist and did a brain scan, and they didn't find anything unusual. They thought the doctor and the neurologist kind of debated about what this could be, and they kind of came to the conclusion that it possibly was a form of a seizure. Over the next few years, she had a few of these seizures. It was said that she would walk around school in like a trance-like state, and that she'd have these blackouts where she would experience memory loss, visual and audible hallucinations. In the 1970s, Annelies, who was 18 at the time, experienced her third seizure at a psychiatric hospital where she was staying at the time. She was prescribed with medication to help with these seizures, which unfortunately didn't help. One of the medicines that she was given was Dilantin, and within the same month, she was prescribed another medication called Alopt? Probably pronouncing that one wrong, but... This one is to do with treating psychosis, and such as schizophrenia, delusions, and disturbed behaviour. Each time she had received a new medication, she would get another brain scan. And each time, the results would come back normal with maybe minor irregularities.
How interesting. Seizures can properly mess you up, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's lots of debate whether... I mean, what's interesting is that she's experiencing all of this kind of... these symptoms, and the doctors, after doing many brain scans, aren't really picking up anything. As to why these seizures are occurring, which is really interesting. In 1973, Annelies graduated and enrolled in the University of Würzburg. It was said during her education that her classmates would describe her as, quote, withdrawn and very religious. During this time, she would hear knocking on her in her room at night. And so would her sister. So her sister also experienced this too. So she would go to sleep and she'd hear this knocking. She'd also explain that she would see the devil's face multiple times during the day. So I guess things would just morph into this like demon devil figure. It's just so spooky.
Sleep paralysis, maybe. Sleep paralysis. Mm. Demon is real.
Yeah, I mean, it would happen during the day as well, so it's just, there's no escape.
Ah, okay, probably not sleep paralysis then, unless you're sleeping standing up. Yeah, that's wild. God, imagine, maybe, I don't know why this is, I'm going completely off track now, but I don't know why what you're saying has just made me think of this. So, do you know Pink Floyd, the band?
Yes.
Or heard of them?
Yeah, yeah.
They're one of their original founding members, or in fact, like the original founding member, Syd Barrett, who was meant to be the pioneer of their sound, this kind of crazy electro thing. He, when he was living in London, I believe, maybe it was Liverpool, when he was living somewhere in the UK with these two flatmates, they used to put LSD in his coffee without telling him.
No.
So he would see things like that. He would see...
Hallucinate.
Yeah, he would hallucinate and not realise why. He'd be going about his day and also,
oh
like...
Oh my gosh!
If he was having a bad trip, they would put him in a cupboard, in an airing cupboard.
What?
Lock him in there. These two
roommates.
And they used to do it because...
That's not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay. And they used to think he was God. That's why they did it. So... You can. It's crazy to think, but you can see how, like, so that was very real for Syd Barrett, and that literally did drive him insane. So you can see, well, I'm assuming in this scenario, religious household, probably not taking LSD every day, but
maybe not.
Someone, if you know, if you're starting to see these things and they're becoming real, oh God, it would drive you mad very quickly, I think.
It would, in trying to convince people that you are actually seeing these things.
Mm.
But putting LSD in someone's coffee is terrible. That poor guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's probably so confused.
Yeah. If we weren't doing a true crime podcast, I could do a whole episode just on Syd Barrett. He lived a very crazy but very unfortunate life as well. A lot of people took advantage of him for certain things. And yeah, that one always stands out for me just because that would be horrific, right? Tripping and not knowing
you're
tripping.
That's living nightmare, and then to be locked into a cupboard well. That's terrible. So bad. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I suppose that I can see why you were drawn to that story.
Yeah, a bit of a rogue one, but for some reason it just the idea of someone seeing like the devil about their day and not realizing why was enough to make me think of that.
That's terrible. So there were reports made by Annalise's mother saying that she once saw Annalise staring, like, really intensely at this statue of the Virgin Mary. And it was said that her eyes were completely jet black. And that she had paws, like big clawed paws, and on her, as in replacement of her hands during this time.
What, Annalise did, or the Virgin Mary statue?
No, Annalise. So the mother said that she saw her with these big, like, clawed paws and black eyes while staring at this statue.
Maybe they were both on LSD. Maybe there's something in the water in Germany back then.
Yeah.
Because that's wild.
Maybe.
She's, wow,
right?
What the hell? Okay. Interesting. So,
yeah.
Pretty
wild. I don't really know what to make of that. It's just, okay. So her symptoms were worsening and the medication wasn't working. She had depression and she was hallucinating whilst praying. She would hear voices that would say, quote, rot in hell, and that she was damned, which is, you know, would be really difficult if you're very religious and you've always, you know, you've always known that way. And then to hear these voices saying this, that it would hurt.
Mm.
It was frustrating her that over the past 5 years she'd been taking a lot of medication and her symptoms weren't getting any better. And then things started to change. She started becoming repulsed by religious items and places. So it was decided that she'd be sent to San Damiano, where they provide regular organised Christian pilgrimages, and she went with a family friend. The family friend claimed that she was suffering from a demonic possession where she was unable to walk past crucifixes and she refused to drink the holy water. She would also show superhuman strength, which we know is like one of the telling signs, you know, that you see in like exorcism movies and stuff, that the superhuman strength is, if it's there, it kind of replicate, like it kind of means demonic possession.
Yeah, that means you've been had.
So I have a quote from Father Alt, and Father Alt features quite a lot in this story. He was there from the start with assisting Annalise with her symptoms. And he said, quote, Annalise told me, and Frau Hen confirmed this, she was unable to enter the shrine. She approached it with great hesitation, then said that the soil burnt her like fire and that she simply could not stand it. She then walked around the shrine in a wide arc and tried to approach it from the back. She looked at the people who were kneeling in the area surrounding the little garden, and it seemed to her that while praying that they were gnashing their teeth, which is like super scary. She got as far as the edge of the little garden and then she had to turn back. Coming from the front again, she averted her glance to the picture of Christ in the chapel of the house. She made it several times to the garden, but she couldn't get past it. It was also noted that she could no longer look at medals or pictures of saints. They would sparkle so immensely that she couldn't stand it. So this is two people, Father Alt and then Frau Hein, who is confirming it, that she is now being repulsed by religious figures.
In two separate places as well. So the only commonality there is Annalise, right? So
yeah,
something's going on.
Something's stirring. After this, Annalise and her family and the community were adamant that she was possessed and needed an exorcism. So they started to reach out to lots of priests to do the exorcism, and many priests declined. It was said that she should stick to her medical treatment. They also added that to perform an exorcism that they would need the permission by the bishop. In the Catholic Church, to have official approval for an exorcism, the person must meet a certain criteria. Some of those are that, you know, you reject religious items and that you have supernatural powers. However, whilst this is going on, Annalise's symptoms were still getting worse. She was becoming far more aggressive and self-injuring. She would compulsively do 400 squats a day and would rip her clothes off. She would also drink her own urine by licking it up off the floor. She would eat insects, coals, and bite heads off birds. There were times where she would bark like a dog for multiple days at a time. And yeah, so it's not great.
She must have had incredible quadriceps though if she was doing all those squats every day.
That's what I thought. 400 a day.
That's a lot.
Things have just dramatically changed at this point. And yeah.
Sounds quite animalistic. I mean, literally barking like a dog.
For days. She wouldn't speak. She would just bark. I wonder if that's, you know, to me it sounds like symptoms of a demonic possession, but it's just that kind of out of control, animalistic sort of behaviour. But
also, I find it kind of wild that there's a checklist in the Catholic Church for things that you need to be exhibiting in order to get an exorcism from the bishop.
Absolutely, yeah, I thought that. I found that interesting. And it really is, like, they still do them today, but it should be, and it should have always been, like, a last resort sort of thing. But yeah, super interesting that, yeah, if you meet these criteria, you'll have an exorcism.
Yeah, it seems very weird.
In November 1973, a psychiatrist diagnosed her as neurotic with possible epilepsy, which was backed by another doctor. She was then prescribed with stronger medication, Tegretol, which is a seizure medication and a mood stabilizer. She was prescribed antipsychotic medication as well, which you take quite frequently. And after this, she began to, quote, growl, see demons, and start throwing things. Father Alt, who I mentioned before, claimed that, quote, she didn't look like an epileptic. Which I can't help think that he's not a doctor, but, and you know, like, if someone's got epilepsy, it's not really a thing that you can see on a person, do you know?
Yeah, I was like, going to say, what does an epileptic look like?
Yeah, I feel like it's a really stupid thing to say.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You aren't not qualified.
Is he pigeonholing all epileptics and that they've got a look? That feels a bit wrong.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. He continued to say that he didn't see her having any seizures, but potentially the medication that she was on, and she was on quite a lot, may have prevented them. He decided to really push for the exorcism and try to persuade the bishop to allow it, saying that she really was possessed. In September 1975, the bishop granted permission for priest Arnold Renz to perform an exorcism, but under the requirement that it is kept a secret.
It's weird that this guy was pushing for it so much.
Yeah.
And like, it seems like he really just wanted to do it. The fact that he had all this checklist lined up, and maybe he just really wanted to do an exorcism for once.
Maybe. He was like, this is my candidate. But yeah, to really push for it and say, oh, I don't think she looks like an epileptic, then really, really trying to get this permission granted. And it did. But I also think it's odd that, why does it need to be kept a secret? Like, total secrecy. It kind of makes things a little shady.
Yeah, maybe they thought it would bring shame to her and her family or something. Or to the church, because she was having all this religious aversion.
Maybe.
I know.
So the priest, Renz, performed the first exorcism on the 24th of September 1975. Annalise's parents decided to fully immerse her in the exorcisms and would stop working with the doctors to help Annalise.
Okay, so all the meds are coming off now.
Yeah, so it seems as though they've now aren't listening to advice from doctors or taking her to see them. So they're now very much heavily invested in going down the religious route. And this is what Annalise wanted at the time. She was very much able to say and speak and say that she wants to be exorcist, like she needs an exorcism, and this is the route that she wants to go down. She felt as though she was possessed by a demon. She would start talking more and more about, quote, dying to atone the wayward youth of the day and to apostate priests of the modern church. In May 1976, her parents would have to tie her up from preventing her hurting herself or other people. She's like turned now to biting herself and biting other people that she can like reach. And
the exorcism's not really working then, so far.
It doesn't seem to be.
No.
She would also, at this point, refuse to eat, saying, quote, that she didn't have permission to eat. Annalise had 67 exorcisms performed on her over a span of 10 months between 1975 and 1976, which amounts to one or two a week.
Bloody hell. I was going to say that's more than one a week. That's a lot of exorcisms. I thought it was like a one and done situation.
I did too until I read this. Like, I thought it was only like a few, maybe, but 67?
That's a crazy amount of exorcisms.
And each session would be up to 4 hours as well.
Jesus, you think that like people would... Were they getting paid for this?
I don't know. It's a lot of time and a lot to endure as well. I don't think they're particularly relaxing, so...
No, yeah. I don't think this was a relaxing exorcism.
In recordings of the exorcisms, it was thought that you could hear demons arguing with themselves. You can hear these demons arguing, and actually you can YouTube clips of the exorcisms, so you can hear it. It is obviously in German, but usually there's like subtitles, and they are like really disturbing. Like, she has this like deeper voice, and she's like screaming, saying quite religious statements, and it's really not pleasant at all. Yeah, but it's, yeah, interesting.
You'll have to send me one of those over after this episode. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So unfortunately, on the 1st of July, 1976, Annalise died at her home at age 23.
How'd she die?
It was stated in her autopsy that she died from malnutrition and dehydration after being in a semi-starved state during the exorcisms for 10 months. She weighed 30 kilograms, or 66 pounds. She had broken knees from the genuflection, which is the motion of kneeling to pray in church. She would do that so repeatedly that she'd broken her knees and ripped some, and like ripped tendons.
She broke her knees. Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
Just,
she's probably traumatized horrific from all this extra religion. Oh my word, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm. It's taken a real turn here. She was so weak that she would need assistance just to move around. And she also ended up with pneumonia. The investigation into Annalise's death was launched, and it was stated by the state prosecutor that Annalise's death could have been prevented even 1 week prior to her death. Yeah, if she just eat, like, if they had enabled her to eat something, or she was just under a lot of immense stress with all these exorcisms.
So they could have saved her up until a week before she was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Or was she killed? She just...
Well, she died. Although, in 1976, Annalise's parents, Father Ernest Alt and Priest Arnold Renz, were all charged with negligent. Oh my gosh.
There you go.
In 1976, Annalise's parents, Father Ernest Alt, and Priest Arnold Renz were all charged with negligent homicide.
Well, they actually got charged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably fair.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely. It was said by doctors during the trial that Annalise wasn't possessed, but suffered psychological effects from her strict religious life, home life, and that she had epilepsy. However, the doctor was also the same doctor, Richard Roth, his name, who was approached by Father Alt, allegedly during an exorcism, and Richard said, "There is no injection against the devil, Annalise," which was a quote from him. So he's a doctor and he says that, which isn't going to help matters. He later denies this in court that he ever said this. But also, which is quite interesting by this doctor, during Annalise's final weeks, Father Alt brought Dr. Richard in, and he testified that he was only there for scientific curiosity, not as a physician.
Okay, so he actually went.
So he went there, but just to have a little nosy at Annalise, not there to help her.
Doesn't feel very ethical.
Right? It just, she's not a, like, it's not entertainment, you know? She's really unwell.
Hmm.
It was said that she was freed from demons because of the exorcism just before her death. There were 6 demons in total. There were Lucifer, Cain, Judas Iscariot, Adolf Hitler, Nero...
That sounds like a
Adolf
meme.
Adolf Hitler possessed her. Yeah.
That's wild. That's wild that these people actually thought this was real.
Mm-hmm. Nero, and the final one was Flauschmann, I think his name is, Flauschmann, which was a, like, dishonored or like a banished priest, I think it was, a religious man. So he also came in into the mix.
Sounds like quite a range. That's just wild. That's just ridiculous that those people convinced each other that that was the case.
Adolf Hitler possessed her. It's also, I saw somewhere as well, someone was like, oh, so she basically just took all the horrific demons and then people, and then just, they were the ones that, like, possessed her. But yeah, it's wild. So it was determined that the exorcisms were legal. The bishop didn't testify in the trial, but said that he didn't realise her health conditions before granting her permission.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents' lawyers were paid by the church. It was decided that no one was to go to jail, but they were to pay a fine. But Anneliese's parents had suffered enough, which is a criterion in the German penalty law. So because they'd suffered enough during her life, they said that they were guilty of the crime, but there was no punishment for them. Which is something that I didn't realise was in the law in Germany.
Well, it sounds kind of logical, to be fair.
Hmm. Yeah. It makes sense.
Maybe quite.
But she is negligent. But, like, the fact that they were charged with negligent homicide, like, they could have intervened, maybe, and taken her out of this kind of world and maybe given her, like, psychiatric help.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, yeah. So it was determined that the case was a misidentification of mental illness or mental health. It's thought that the exorcism played a part into her fantasies that she was living, and that she would sometimes behave, well, often behave normally between those exorcisms. The medication also could have played a role in her behaviour, but it is to be said that her visions and her seizures would occur before even taking any medication. So before the medication was introduced, she was experiencing these behaviours. This whole case got a lot of media attention because it was unusual for the church to agree with such an outdated exorcism practice.
Mm.
Yeah, which, yeah, I'm not surprised. This would have been wild if you heard about this.
Yeah, it honestly does feel like that one priest just really wanted to do an exorcism for the sake of it.
Mm. Those two, yeah. So that one got the permission, Father Alt, and then priest Renz, who performed the exorcisms, but they would kind of come as a duo. Those two were performing exorcisms multiple times a week.
Mm.
After this case, there was a major decrease in official exorcisms granted, and in 1999, new, stricter rules were implemented so that exorcisms only occur in rare cases and as a last resort.
Well, so they still happen?
Yep. Just they rarely. Still happen. Just very rarely.
That is wild, just, isn't it? Wild.
It is. So yes. So if you've ever seen, my final note was, if you've ever seen the horror movie of Emily Rose, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, then this case inspired that story. But overall, this is just such a tragic case. I just feel for Anneliese.
Yeah, it sounds like she was tortured, basically, at the end of her life. Rather than supported and getting the correct medication.
100%. She was tortured through whatever she was experiencing internally in herself. And then she lacked the support from adults and older people. And was tortured that way as well. It all round is terrible. And there are people that argue that she was an adult at the time and that she wanted this to happen. She asked for an exorcism, so do you honour that? But then you also, there's the case of, was she in the right state of mind to be able to make these choices or these, you know, decisions? And should her parents have stepped in and supported her that way? So it is, yeah. What's your take on this case, Greg?
Well, I think her parents, with hindsight, probably should have seen some jail time, actually, because they've basically just, they've literally killed her in a way, just indirectly.
slowly killed her indirectly. Yeah, which is negligent homicide. So, but they didn't get any punishment. It was, they've suffered enough, but because of them, in a way, indirectly.
Also, I feel like to normal parents that would be enough suffering to lose mm-hmm. a child, but they probably just thought this was the work of the devil and that's what killed her.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that they believed it wholeheartedly. They were so wrapped up in all of this that they probably, you know, I don't know them, but they most likely believed that they were doing the right thing or like trying to save her. But I mean, I don't know if we won't post any pictures of Annalise in her during the exorcism, like at the end of her life, because I mean, I saw some photos of her and it's heart-wrenching. She looks awful, bless her. Like, it's so sad. So to see your daughter go deteriorate so quickly, I mean, it was in a mere 10 months from the first exorcism to when she died. And yeah, they are just like gut-wrenching. They're hard to look at. So it's, I don't know. I think I agree with you. I think the parents should have seen a little bit, you know, some punishment for this. But overall, it's just tragic.
Yeah, absolutely. I think her parents should definitely have paid with some kind of retribution.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But yeah, I guess that is the case of Annalise Michelle.
Well, thank you for sharing. That was a very interesting case. Good dual-sided example of a bit of paranormal and some true crime. Mm. Because really, there were probably some people taking criminal action there. So thanks for sharing.
Yeah. No worries. Well, thank you, Cleo, for suggesting this one. It was a good one. I hadn't heard about this one before.
Excellent suggestion. Do you want to share the social media pages and websites so that other people can make their suggestions?
Yeah, sure. So you can send in your personal paranormal or true crime stories to our website, www.goreandguiltypodcast.com. You can also send them to our email as well. You can follow us on our Instagram at Gore and Guilty Podcast, where you can suggest cases for us like this one. You can follow our pictures from the cases and interact with us. You can also follow us on our Twitter at Gore and Guilty. And if you like this episode, then please feel free to leave a review, give us some stars, all up jazz. And thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoyed. And remember, we won't judge if
gore is your guilty pleasure.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, bye. Guys.